You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Hope you had a great weekend. ESPN tried to make a big deal out of the Warriors playing the Lakers on Sunday night. And we had reason to think this would have been a good game. Golden State had won three in a row. The Lakers have been vulnerable without Anthony Davis. But almost immediately, it became clear the Warriors were outmatched on this night. Lakers jumped out to an early lead and never looked back. Golden State's entertaining, but you can't help but imagine what they'd be like if they had Klay Thompson. Steph Curry, brilliant. Draymond Green looks rejuvenated. James Wiseman, looks like he could be a future star. But right now, the Warriors don't appear to be anywhere near what the Lakers are. And this is a Laker team that's not fully assembled right now. And maybe Golden State does something at the trade deadline. They're still mentioned as a possible suitor for Bradley Beal, the Wizards. But if not, the 2021 Warriors will probably go down as a fun team, but a team that we're still wondering about. Here is Steph Curry after last night's loss.
I think the biggest thing, Draymond said it a little bit at halftime, we have to remember that even when we're playing well, we won three in a row, you know, teams still want to beat us and beat us bad. They still have, you know, a lot of memories from the last 5-6 years.
Well, maybe not so the last couple of years, but before that, yes, you had teams looking for retribution. I don't know if something happening this year impacts what happened 3 years ago, because the NBA moves quickly. Players changing all the time. But if you're saying, hey, we got payback with the Warriors, we beat them in 2021, doesn't have the same ring. If you beat them when they had KD and Steph and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, that's different. All right, we'll come up with a poll question. Or did we come up with a poll question, McLovin?
We did, but it's a blowout.
Oh.
Who would you rather have, Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott? Guess which way it's a blowout.
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell Wilson. It's 87%. But Dak is younger.
Well, first of all, there's obstacles here. Financial obstacles to start with. And if you sign Dak to the franchise tag, it's a no-trade clause. He would have to approve being traded. And then does he go to Seattle, but he wants a new deal? And if Russ would come to Dallas, there's a $39 million cap hit for Seattle. Now, we saw Carson Wentz get traded, so I guess everything is in play. But if you're going to trade for Russell Wilson, do you think Russell Wilson is going to come to Dallas at this point in his career and he's going to live by the contract that he is under with Seattle? I think he's middle of the pack as far as pay goes. I can't imagine that Russ is going to go, hey, I'm just thankful that I'm out of Seattle and I'm a Dallas Cowboy, one of the four places that I wanted to go. I would imagine, I don't have this on authority yet, but if Russ was going to go to one of these four teams, he would probably want new team, new deal. Just saying. Other than that, this should be really easy. It's just, this has all the ingredients you want. If you can incorporate the Cowboys into a story, you do it. But you throw in the Raiders and the Bears and the Saints and the Cowboys, that's great. That's gold. That's content. Whether it's true or not, whether it could happen or not, we're never going to let that get in the way. Yeah, McLovin.
I don't quite get why Russ would want to go to Dallas or the Raiders, because those teams aren't really, they don't play defense at all. Like, he's never going to get the ball back. Dallas is a tough spot to win, I think, right now. Like, they don't tackle and they don't block. Last year was a disaster, not because of the quarterback.
Sounds awful.
Defense was a sieve.
But they have a good offense. And they have a respectable offensive line.
No, well, not anymore, though, right?
It's at least respectable. It's not the best in the league anymore. But then, do I want to go to a New Orleans offense where Drew Brees ended up with 11 broken ribs behind that offensive line? You do have weapons there.
You got a nice defense, though.
Yeah, I think Russ wants to go to a place, first of all, that has a good offensive line. The Bears, I don't understand. That one I don't understand. Like, if you go, boy, he wants to get under that Matt Nagy magic. Like, that's the reason you want to go to the Bears. First of all, you got a coach and a GM whose jobs will be at stake this upcoming season, in my opinion, in Chicago. I don't want to go there with that hanging over the possibility of how successful I'm going to be. The Saints would be interesting. We're going to check in with the Saints coming up in about 15 minutes. Is Drew Brees retired? Like, everybody knows that this is, yeah, everybody's sure of this. And maybe he is. But his trainer posted a workout yesterday, Drew Brees doing something crazy strenuous. And you could hear his trainer going, oh, this is cray cray. First of all, I wouldn't have a trainer who would say this is cray cray. But it looked kind of crazy that Drew Brees was doing this. And it felt like maybe he was tweaking the media a little bit. Like, I don't know. I'm going to get in I want to look good in that NBC blazer that I'm going to be wearing on Football Night in America. But I don't know if Drew, if I'm Drew Brees, or how about this? Knowing what I know about Drew Brees, he has to look back on that game with the Buccaneers and say, We could have won the Super Bowl. We could have beaten them if I was healthy. That's how you have to look at this. We might look at it and go, after that game, he said goodbye. He waved everybody. He said goodbye. Man, when reality starts to set in, it's like when I left ESPN, I was like, see ya. I'm out of there. And then you start to think about all the people you worked with. And you were on a great show, SportsCenter. And then you start to go, wait, what did I just do? And Drew Brees is probably thinking, in fact, I'm still thinking about that. I've only been gone since 2009. What did I do? Yes, Paul.
I'm watching the video. Why is Drew Brees working out in a parking lot behind a Hampton Inn? That's what's going on there?
I don't know what's going on.
It's like asphalt. There's cars trying to park as he's pushing this iron thing through this iron sled.
Yeah.
There's some guys trying to back in his F-150.
So we'll check in with the Saints coming up. But as far as Russ goes, I don't think he's going anywhere. Do I think that he wanted to send a message like Aaron Rodgers? Yes, I do. Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere. I don't think Russ is. I do think after the following season, Seattle will have a new quarterback. As far as Dak goes, I think Dak will sign the franchise tag, and then maybe eventually America's long nightmare will be over and he'll sign a long-term deal. Yes, McLeod.
Then what are we going to talk about when it comes to Dak and the Cowboys?
No. Should they have given him the long-term contract? I already know how this plays out. Having been behind the curtain at the mothership, and you go, wait, we're going to have that story again? It was like five stories you just rotate. And then like a year later, there's five stories and you just rotate. And here's an update on this story. Yes, Eden.
There are a few scenarios worse professionally than when you're like, hey, you know, if things don't change, I'm leaving. And your boss is like, okay. That's never great.
I work with somebody who went into one of my bosses and he wanted a new contract. And one of my bosses said no. And then that was it. That was his last day of work.
No.
He got home and his wife said, you go back there and you get your job back. And he had to go back and beg to get his job back at less pay. But imagine going in there and you're like, hey, if you don't give me this, I'm leaving. See ya. What? Went home, came back the next day, and said, oh, I got a little heated up and fired up there, and you know, I'd like to get my job back for good, please. Yeah, Paul.
Did you ever hear that great story the comedian Larry David told? He was a writer on SNL way before Seinfeld, and he got so fed up with his stuff not making the air, he slammed the table, stormed out, made a huff and puff, and left the building. The weekend goes on, he comes back to work Monday and just... He's like, what did I do? I gave up. That's good pay, SNL, NBC. He just showed up Monday to the writer's meeting. And there's this air. He said, there's an air in the room. Like something's like, why is this guy here? Didn't he storm out? And that's where he got the whole idea. Remember there's an episode of Seinfeld where George won't leave?
Yeah.
And he said it's based on his real life experience. It's great.
By the way, I love to clue you in on some things that I watch. And I had the Danettes try to guess. I watched two documentaries over the weekend. Paulie was upset, really upset about one of them. And the other one, I don't know if he had a real opinion on because he might not know who the person is. but I watched a documentary on Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Okay.
He's a rapper. He's an entrepreneur. He's a social influencer. He's a snitch. And he's still alive and out of prison. But it was really well done. Daniel Hernandez is his name, but Tekashi 6ix9ine. I watched that one.
What was that, 14 minutes? How long was the documentary?
It was about an hour and a half. And there is some great stuff in there. I also watched, get ready for this, it's over 2 hours and 20 minutes long, the Billie Eilish documentary.
Okay with that. She seems both talented and interesting.
She is talented and interesting.
2 hours and 24 minutes seems like a long time.
Well, a lot of concert footage in there. And yeah, there's so much behind the scenes there that they videotaped everything. Her parents videotaped everything. Whether it's her boyfriend and whether it's a meeting Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, what she does in concert, Coachella when it, you know, didn't go well. It'd be fascinating to see a teenager go through this. And, you know, she meets Justin Bieber and it's so emotional because he's 25 at the time and he said it's going to go by so quickly that, you know, have good people around you. And her parents travel with her all over the world. But yeah, Billie Eilish and Tekashi 6ix9ine, of course. Those are the things you thought I would be watching. Yes, I did watch Nomadland with Frances McDormand. And I told you, I think she won the Academy Award with that performance.
They had a funny joke last night during the Golden Globes. Amy Poehler said, the movies are too long to watch. We don't want to watch movies, but we'll binge 8 hours of a TV show. She goes, I don't want to watch a two-hour movie. I want to watch a one-hour show five times in a row.
But if The Irishman was a series, I think it would have played out better than a three-hour movie or however long it was. Because you can break it up. You can stop. They recap it. Yeah, Pauline.
Seton hit me to one last week, and my wife and I watched it, I think, on Friday. It's called I Care a Lot.
Yeah.
It's 2 hours.
Rosamund Pike, she won the Golden Globe last night.
Holy cow. They picked the right actress for that role.
Yeah. She's cold-blooded.
Yeah.
She's great. But, yeah, she won a Gold Globe last night.
Yes. Yeah, I watched it, too, and Seton was right. That is dark.
Well, it's a woman who basically takes advantage of senior citizens and then tries to take over their assets until she meets her match. Yes.
I do like movies where there's no real good guy. You know, it's kind of like, which of these two horrible people are you sort of rooting for more? Because they're all bankrupt.
But it feels like there's a lot of that now, where you have to kind of decide the person who you like a little bit more, but they're all bad. And we've seen that with a lot of these new series that are out now. Yeah, Seton.
I just watched, I finished this series called Behind Her Eyes. That was pretty good. That was a book that was, I think, really popular that they made into a sort of like a limited series.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It went on a little long for me where I was like, oh my God, when is this going to be over? And then the end came and I was like, holy crap, that was awesome. But I was like, gosh, this is just going on forever. And then it completely turned around at the end.
You know that I love when we do this, because when we're all engaged and we're telling people about what we listen to in a new show, and then, you know, hey, you want to watch Goliath or Bosch or, you know, some of these shows that I informed you about, it's when I look back and I see Todd has a blank look on his face because he has no idea.
I've heard of a few of them. I have not seen any of those.
None.
I can't get invested in the binging and all these hours.
You don't have to binge. You don't binge.
I haven't had a desire to see, and maybe, I don't know, I wasn't excited about any of that. It was tough watching the Golden Globes because I wasn't familiar with any of the shows they were
talking. But you can be, interested.
I just, the Queen and the Crown and the chess and
Queen's Gambit?
Yeah, it didn't do anything for me that I'd want to see that about the English times.
I just love the blank look on your face. It's great because you have nothing to offer.
I don't.
If we only had more segments like that.
I have not seen any of those shows.
Thank you, Todd. Yes, McLovin.
So, yeah, what does Todd watch?
Todd watches, I think he loves ABC because whenever there's a sporting event on, it's always on ABC. It'd be like Oklahoma State.
That was fun.
Nail biter. And then yesterday, Clippers, Bucks, nail biter. And they're on ABC.
And there's Bachelor. But then I'll go over to Bravo for Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yes, Paul.
But you can watch Real Housewives, but not a good show.
I probably should try some of these documentaries.
I could be better about that.
But I don't know. You know, if there was a Hall & Oates or a Run DMC documentary, I'd watch that.
But when did you stop consuming? And not food. I'm just talking about
TV. I watch and sporting music. Events, and I'll watch the silly, brainless Real Housewives stuff, things like that. I don't want to get too involved and too deep in these things that will go on for hours and hours, and you got to watch 20 episodes.
Job well done. The new Peacock original, Punky Brewster, Todd. That should be up your alley. The beloved 80s icon, all grown up, raising kids on her own, all episodes streaming for free exclusively on Peacock. Sign up peacocktv.com, get started. Punky Brewster.
Could dabble in that a little
Are
bit.
Are you waiting for Elf to come back?
For Alf?
I did kind of like Alf. Alf?
Alien life form guy. I liked it.
Oh, God.
Ha! Really? Ha! That was my Alf impersonation.
This program is available on our great radio affiliates around the country. Also, Peacock, our TV partner. We'll get a couple of phone calls here. Then we'll take a break. Carter in Colorado leads us off. Best and worst of the weekend. Then we'll check in with the New Orleans Saints. By the way, there's a team interested in Teddy Bridgewater. Have that report for you coming up. Might surprise you, the team that's interested in Teddy Bridgewater. Hey, Carter.
Hey, what up, DP?
Hey, bud.
I got a couple of questions, or a couple of bests for you for the weekend, and then a question.
Okay.
My first best is all the red and black that was worn for Tiger yesterday. That was pretty cool. As a kid that grew up just idolizing that man, it was pretty cool to watch. Second best, Morikawa draining putts for my bank account. Come on, let's go.
That was great. Wonderful player.
Yeah, oh, he is amazing. And then my question, as a two-time Masters champion picker for you, can I join next year's live show draft?
I'm going to have to talk to the rest of the show, the Danettes, and see if they want you in there. I mean, they don't want to know it all. I mean, it's a soft no is what it is right now, Carter, is what it is.
All right, well, I'm willing to put, like, a shower of shame on the line, anything, you know, just to get in.
You know what? Call in on draft day for the Masters, and then we'll see if the guys are open for it.
I'll be around for that.
Okay, thank you, Carter. Carter famously, a couple of years ago, before anybody, said Tiger was going to win the Masters in 2019. I don't remember that he had the right pick last year. Do you guys remember that?
I don't.
But
he's
know-
probably one of those guys who picked Tiger to win the Masters in 14, 15, 16, 17, and then it finally hit.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll check in with the New Orleans Saints. Is there a chance that Drew Brees is not retiring? Okay. I know that everybody's moved on because, like, hey, about Russell Wilson with the Saints. I hate to be a buzzkill, but I do like to apply logic occasionally, or being rational and go, you know, there's a chance. Maybe they don't do anything. Maybe it's Drew Brees. Maybe it is Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. I mean, we want to talk about Russell Wilson, but I don't think Russ is getting traded. Deshaun Watson, you know, be careful what you ask for. You want out, but you're going to go to a team that may have to give up an awful lot to get you, and then you're not going to be very good for the next couple of years. Like, do you really want out of Houston that badly? 20 after the hour, we'll check in with the Saints. Shaq will join.
Dan Patrick, shut the hell up.
Will join us in an hour from now. Take a break. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. It's like getting one of those birthday cards. They're shaped like cash. You know there's cash inside before you open it. But in this case, it is cash. It's your first year cash back match. You don't even have to send a thank you note. Cash back match is what it's called. That's convenient. Should be able to remember that. Only by Discover card. You can learn more at discover.com/match. Discover.com/match. Discover. Something brighter. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up on Game. We're going to be sharing our real life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up on Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I saw this report that the 49ers called the Panthers about Teddy Bridgewater. This was first reported on The Athletic. Joseph Person at TheAthletic.com reports the 49ers called the Panthers about a potential trade for Teddy Bridgewater. But they're all in on Jimmy Garoppolo, right? They keep telling us that the last couple of years. Hey, Tom Brady, come on out. We're kind of interested in you. Maybe a trade here for Kirk Cousins. It never goes away with Jimmy Garoppolo. Never. And I wonder if after this season, if he's still there as their quarterback. But if he had a couple more first downs, he would have a Super Bowl ring. I mean, imagine that. Could you have gotten rid of Jimmy Garoppolo if he won a Super Bowl? Yes, McLovin.
You can start playing that game, though. Jared Goff, if Brandon Cooks' feet stayed in bounds in the Super Bowl, maybe Goff wins that Super Bowl. I mean,
I went back and listened to Sean McVay gush all over Jared Goff when they gave him the contract extension. I mean, really, it was like, wow, get a room. He was just saying, oh, Jimmy, you know, Jared Goff, and he's the best, and you know, and then all of a sudden, it doesn't take long for a relationship to end in the NFL. It doesn't. Like, you can fall in love quickly during the draft, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to see another quarterback. Okay? Let me bring in Jeff Duncan, columnist for The Athletic, covering the Saints. He also wrote a book, Peyton and Breeze, which came out last fall, goes into great detail about Drew, his relationship with Sean, the team, and the city. All right, Jeff, where are we with Drew Breeze and his future?
Well, we're in wait mode, Dan. You know, it's kind of peculiar, but if you know Drew Brees, he doesn't do anything that isn't thorough. And I think he's taken a thorough amount of time to consider this big decision for him. But everything I've been able to gather, he is retiring. I've not talked to one person inside the Saints organization that doesn't believe he's retiring. And I think he tipped his hand last month when he agreed to reduce his base salary from $25 million down to $1 million. That's letting you know he's not going to see any of that money in the fall because he's going to retire. So I think we're all just in wait-and-see mode when they're going to make the official announcement.
0% chance. Is that what you're saying?
No, I wouldn't go that far. Okay. I would say it's very low, though. You know, Drew acted like a player that was done at the end of this season. I mean, all my interactions with him, you could just see it on his face. He knew that his time had come. I mean, he spent an hour and a half after their playoff loss, you know, in the playoffs to the Bucks, on the Superdome field with his children, with his wife Brittany, running pass patterns, just soaking up the moment. I don't think that was by accident. So I guess there is a possibility he's rethought it and considered coming back. I haven't talked to him lately, but I would just be surprised with how the season ended and everything internally. Everyone's on the same page that Drew's moving on.
But I wonder what the local reaction would be, because it feels like they've already moved on to the possibility of Russell Wilson. And as a fallback plan, we got Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. Would Saints fans react favorably if Drew Brees was coming back, no matter what the salary was?
That's a great question. I don't know how Saints fans would react. I think everyone's moved on. I know Saints coaches have already had conversations with Jameis Winston about him taking the torch. So clearly they've moved on and they are expecting Drew Brees to retire. I don't know how the fans would react, because I think Drew Brees' last year was so disappointing, especially how he finished in that last game against the Bucks, 3 interceptions, the most in his playoff career. I think people see that Father Time has caught up to him and they're kind of ready for something different, as great as Drew Brees has been in his career here.
What was the reaction when Russell Wilson named the Saints as one of the 4 teams if he was traded?
Are you kidding me? If they could have had a Mardi Gras parade here for Russell Wilson, we could violate all the COVID restrictions. I think the mayor certainly would have cleared that. And Deshaun Watson's another one. Any big name quarterback, visions of Super Bowl championships are dancing in the minds of Saints fans. Dan, this is a very passionate NFL market. I mean, it's amazing how popular the Saints are here. And they've had such a long history of poor quarterback play until Drew Brees came around. And now I don't think they know how to react because they don't know what life is like without an elite quarterback, at least the new generation of Saints fans.
Do they have the assets to acquire a Russell Wilson or a Deshaun Watson?
Well, they could make it happen if they had to, but it would be very difficult. They're way over the salary cap. Mickey Loomis and Kai Harley are geniuses at manipulating that cap, but I think even they would be challenged to bring in a quarterback with an elite salary. They'd have to move some people, and somehow they'd have to get somebody to take Taysom Hill, who they're paying a lot of money to at quarterback. I mean, right now, even without bringing in another quarterback, with Drew Brees retiring and Taysom Hill, they're counting $26 million toward the quarterback position. So it would be very difficult, I think, to bring in someone that's already on a big salary.
That hasn't stopped us from wishful reporting here, right?
No, it's the silly season. I mean, that's the way it operates this time of year. And I will say this, though. The one thing you have to consider, and I know you've had Sean Payton on your show many times. Sean Payton does not believe in rebuilding years and transition years. I mean, the window is always open for him, and he is going to be aggressive. So if he can do something to make it happen, he's going to push Mickey Loomis to make it happen. That's just how Sean thinks. But I really believe he thinks they can win with the quarterbacks they have in the building. I really believe that. In conversations I've had with him, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think he believes it, and I think that's what matters.
Jeff, thanks for joining us. Hope you're well. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, anytime, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
That's Jeff Duncan, a frequent guest on the show. His book, Payton and Brees, came out last fall. Goes into great detail about Drew's relationship with his coach, the team, and the city. I always play the devil's advocate. I got to hear both sides of it because it feels like Drew Brees is retiring. Do I expect him to retire? Yes. But knowing Drew Brees, he has to be playing and replaying that game in his mind with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers over and over and over. And it's a season with no fans. Hey, if I get healthy, this is how the mind works with an athlete, an elite athlete. If I get healthy and, I looked at the tape, a couple of mistakes that I made there. And you know what? We were better than the Buccaneers. This is how you talk yourself into trying to play again. By the way, the Washington football team is expected to part ways with Alex Smith in coming days. Sources tell Ian Rappaport and Kim Jones, the comeback player of the year is going to have to come back and play for another team. Says he still wants to play at the age of 36. Let's go around the room, best and worst of the weekend, get a couple of phone calls in here. And McLovin asked the question, how many rookies have led in points, rebounds, and assists? Now, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised the last rookie to do it and the number of rookies who have been able to do this. All right, Todd, I'll start with you. Best and worst of the weekend.
My best. Oklahoma State freshman Cade Cunningham leads the Cowboys to a 94-90 overtime win at Oklahoma Saturday. Scored a season-high 40 points. Also grabbed 11 rebounds. Worst of the weekend, after allowing 4 goals on 19 shots, Blues netminder Jordan Binnington goes after 3 Sharks players in frustration. After being pulled from the game, the goalie seemed to have taken the night off in San Jose. Final 7-6, St. Louis getting a little hockey in there.
Yeah, Cade Cunningham probably going to be the number one pick, or he looks like he would be the number one pick in the draft. McLovin?
Okay, I have two best. First, my guy Luka Doncic is putting on a show Saturday night against the Nets.
Wait, now he's your guy?
What do you mean? I've always been a Luka Doncic fan.
Didn't you say that he was overweight and uninteresting about 8 days ago?
I don't, that must have been another McLovin. Yeah, no, I've been ripping Luka and I'm done ripping him. He's too unstoppable, Dan. That was the worst call I ever made. Yeah, now I want to get back on the bandwagon.
No, you can't.
I can't.
No, you can. I'll give you Kristaps Porzingis bandwagon.
I don't want Porzingis. He never stays healthy.
You got another one?
Oh, yeah. My Iowa Hawkeyes.
When did they become yours?
When they about halftime yesterday when they were whooping Ohio State.
Yeah.
But can I take all of Big Ten basketball?
Yeah, sure. Like... Well, Big Ten's been the best conference. I mean, that's what's so impressive about what Michigan's done this year. I'm trying to, you know, study up on my college basketball, but it's dicey.
I watched Maryland-Michigan State yesterday. Michigan State didn't score until like 8 minutes into the game. It's like defense is... But you love defensive teams. I know that about you at NCAA tournament.
Well, sometimes it looks like you're playing great defense, but the other team is just not very good offensively. You know, there'd be times when I thought I was playing great defense on somebody, and then I realized the guy couldn't shoot. So it wasn't like, man, I am locking him down. And then I realized he can't shoot. Seton O'Connor, best and worst of the weekend.
My best of the weekend is Jodie Foster won a Golden Globe last night.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Yeah. Have a little bit of her thank you speech.
Okay.
Great ladies included. I love my wife. Thank you, Alex. And Ziggy and Aaron Rodgers. And, the Hollywood Press, right? This is awesome.
Okay. Because Aaron Rodgers thanked Jodie Foster when he won his MVP.
Yes.
And Jodie Foster, big Packers fan. And I guess the story was that Jodie Foster introduced Shailene Woodley to Aaron Rodgers or vice versa.
Because they were in the same movie together, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Aaron got a shout out.
That's it. I have no worst of the weekend because I love love.
Totally best and worst of the week.
Big one, Dan. College football. The North Dakota State Bison football team, 39 straight wins. They made a mistake of going down to Carbondale in February. You want no part of Southern Illinois University football in February. You know that. I know that. The Salukis 38-14 over the Bison. Bison, here's how it sounded.
Down to four, down to three, down to two, and the clock's at triple zeros, and the streak is over. SIU snaps the nation's longest winning streak at 39 wins in a row and upsets number one, North Dakota State, 38-14, the final from Carbondale.
That's it. Saluki football in February.
Anything else?
Catch the fever. No,
that was it.
It can't get better than that.
I felt bad for Paulie because he was texting us that Southern Illinois was whooping up on North Dakota State, and nobody responded.
Oh, it was on purpose.
He
I
goes,
tell.
Hey, no, we just didn't care. Like it wasn't like I truly didn't care.
You know what?
Paulie's like, ESPN Plus.
And he had so much enthusiasm in his text, and I was like, there's no way in hell I'm flipping over to that right now.
Oh, and you can't even flip. I think you have to like download
it. I don't even know how to get ESPN Plus. But all I know, and then Paulie had to send like a visual from this, like a scoreboard, a screen shot, and send it to us. So, you know, okay, ESPN Plus, nobody's commenting. Southern Illinois is going to beat North Dakota State. Nobody responded.
If you're going to take down a great winning streak in college football, ESPN Plus in February is where you want to do it. Southern.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well done. Yes, McLovin.
You know, one thing we do on that text chain is sometimes people put the station or the channel and not say what it is.
Yeah.
I think we might need a policy on that because I get awfully confused because sometimes I'm like nowhere near a TV. I'm like, is this a must go find a TV or is this a sort of if?
Because it might just be Hoosiers is on and you're like, oh, okay.
Or what's the other one? Keanu Reeves?
Point Break.
Point Break, yeah.
I think when one of us gives just the channel, it shows it's so important for you to turn the channel that I have just enough time to tell you channel.
Or that we have total confidence in knowing what each other would tune in for. But
that was put to the test with this.
Yes, it was. Yes,
Salukis here.
Hey, you missed history.
Yes.
Some of us like history and love football.
Yes, Todd.
I probably go too much the other way. That's hopefully part of the reason why you guys usually don't respond to my texts. I'm telling you, 2:12 left in the third quarter. Someone just got a three-pointer, and they had a six-point lead in the first quarter. And probably a lot of info you don't need to know.
Well, Todd will do play-by-play for a game that everybody can see. Because I say to Todd, he gave me a Yankee play-by-play against the Red Sox a couple of years ago. And I said, Todd, I can just turn on the game.
So when I typed foul back and out of play, still 2-2, you don't need that.
I kept going, why is he doing play-by-play? Yeah, you made it seem like, you know, this is in the 1920s and nobody could see the game, but you were going to give play-by-play.
I did. I get a little crazy, too much.
Yeah, you do. All right, we'll come back. More phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. Also, the last time a rookie led the league in points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game, leading all rookies in those categories. Have that for you coming up. And Shaq will join us coming up next hour here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. LaMelo Ball is having quite a rookie season, averaging 15-6-6. Players leading all rookies in points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game in a season all time. The last rookie to do it, I'll give you a thousand guesses. You won't get this one. And he did it for Philadelphia. Might have been rookie of the year. Led all.
I know. Does he have three names?
Yes. Michael Carter Williams. Before that, you have to go back to 1975. Alvin Adams, Walt Bellamy in the 60s, Oscar Robertson in the 60s, Wilt in 1959, and Elgin Baylor in 1958. And Luka didn't lead the league in assists. He led in rebounding and points with rookies. Trae Young is the one who led in assists.
Stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Yes, Paul.
Bonus question. Michael Carter Williams is five teams away since he was the rookie of the year or whatever he was with Philly. Can anyone guess what team Michael Carter Williams is on right now? And did you know he's still in the league?
I don't.
I think you're going to guess it, Dan, just because it's a team you watch.
I was going to say the Sacramento Kings.
Go the opposite.
Orlando.
Nice work.
Yeah, thank you. Luka Doncic went crazy against the Nets on Saturday night, and now all of a sudden there's more Larry Bird comparisons. Even Cedric Maxwell, the former Celtic, was talking to Mark Stein of the New York Times, and he said Luka is Larry Bird reincarnated. You also have Larry's former teammate and Luka's own coach, Rick Carlisle, who has dropped the Luka-Larry comparisons before. Big ball handling forwards, passing gift, and a deep competitive streak here. Let's stop this right now, okay? Let's just, in fairness to Luka, let's stop it right now. Because if Larry played in today's NBA with what you're allowed to get away with, then it would be crazy. I mean, he at age 30, I think, was close to averaging a triple-double. Luka is a wonderful player, but he's not a great shooter by any stretch of the imagination. Can't shoot free throws. He shoots 75% of the line. The other night, he went 2-for-9 from the line. He's slowly improving, but he's not a great shooter. Larry was a great shooter. Larry was a clutch shooter. Luka's had two big clutch shots in his career. Now, granted, it's a short career, but if you're going to compare him now, then you have to factor in all of this stuff. I don't compare him to him. I can see similarities, but I got to be careful with that. Passing is similar. He doesn't have the flair. Bird was a really, he had a flair when he went with his passes. Luka has volume on his side. He always has the ball. You know, Larry was a three. He was a forward. You know, he might have been the first point forward, but, you know, Luka has the ball all the time. Not a great shooter. Got to win championships. You got to be in big moments here. You know, beating the Clippers in a game in the bubble in the playoffs, that doesn't elevate you to Larry Bird status. And I think he's a great player now, but I he's got to do some things to be Larry Bird. If you want to say, well, he's white and he's 6'7", 6'8", and he does everything, okay, I guess. But Larry was an unbelievable shooter. He didn't have the ball all the time. But it's a completely different game that's played now. I mean, you score 130, that doesn't mean you win. But, you know, and Luka wisely backed away from it. He said, you can't compare me to Larry because of the things he's done. And he's right. You know, how about we give it 5 years and see where he is? Yeah, McClellan.
There are similarities in some sense. I'll tell you, can I tell you what I think the similarities are?
Go ahead.
He sees passing angles unbelievably well, which is like Larry was probably better at it. But.
No, Larry was better, had a better flair for the great pass.
But also both of them have steel grips on rebounds. Like they don't jump at all and they get rebounds. Okay. It's crazy.
Okay.
And also they also do a mid-range post-up, which nobody does except for like Kevin Durant, Larry Bird, and Luka. You know where Bird used to post up 15 feet from the basket? That's a weird thing that they do.
Yeah. But Bird was a great outside shooter.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, Luka's he's not even a good outside shooter.
Do you think he can get to that, sure, a higher level than he's at now?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, he's 21 years of age. And Larry wasn't even in the league. Larry was still at Indiana State. Yeah, Paul.
Larry Bird led the league in free throw shooting 5 different seasons. He had a couple seasons over 90%, yeah, career 89% free throw shooter. And with Bird, he was never a volume three-point shooter because there was no volume three-point shooters in the entire league except for, you know, like those Dale Ellis guys or Michael Adams who were specialists. But when Bird was at his peak, 28, 29, he shot 43% from three when he shot. 43%, that's high end back then.
But an offense is geared towards getting those shots now. Now, back then, the offense was not geared that way. Plus, you had McHale and Parrish. You had two great low post players. It's just a different game. But I do see, you know, similarities, if you want to, at their size. They're white. By the way, Paulie says that European white is Sherman Williams paint.
Yeah, people say, clarify, like, yeah, he's a European. That's a Benjamin Moore paint.
Oh, Benjamin Moore. Yeah. Okay.
Like eggshell green.
You have European white. Yes, McLovin.
Doesn't Luka play the one a lot too? I don't think Bird, like, he brings the ball up all the time.
No, Luka is a point guard.
Yeah, that's a big difference. I'll admit that.
If Luka played in the 80s, he wouldn't be the point guard. He would be a three. But he is he's a wonderful player to watch, but he's not Larry Bird. Not now. Like, give him 5 years, and then we can kind of look at this. It's like we go, Mike Trout, he's Willie Mays. No, he's not. He's a wonderful player. He's not Willie Mays. Like, how about you get into the postseason? How about you do something more than just, hey, I got some great stats here. Yeah, Paulie.
And I wonder if, like, a guy like Luka or James Harden, they could average 30 while they have two all-star teammates that need the ball. Now, this era, they suck up all the points and rebounds and all that stuff because they're alphas. Bird was averaging 30 while he had teammates averaging 20.
All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. Last hour on the way, and Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq's going to be wrestling coming up on Wednesday. He'll join us coming up in about 25 minutes from now. One more item in the second hour. It's my friends from M-Drive. Keyword is drive. You get up in the morning, how do you feel? Got to fight back. Are you slowing down, tired, gaining weight, losing your drive? M-Drive comes to the rescue. You got to keep your energy up. That's why I start every day with M-Drive. Supplement for guys who want to stay on top. Powerful ingredients backed by science, and it helps me get energized, and stronger, leaner. And as a former athlete, I'm certainly very competitive, and you have to take that competitiveness to my show. It takes work, takes drive. We want to be the best, no plans to slow down. So how do you feel this morning? And you have a chance to change that. Try M-Drive for yourself. Everyday supplement for guys with drive. Get M-Drive at Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop, or you can go to mdrivedan.com today. Get free shipping. You get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't let age beat you. Go to mdrivedan.com today. mdrivedan.com today and refind your prime with M-Drive.